You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome inside the Celtics Lab Bellringer Crossover Pod. I'm Justin Quinn, and I'm joined by Kai Carlin of the Bellringer Pod and Josh Quinn of Celtics Lab and Double Clutch UK. We're doing a crossover for hopefully obvious reasons with the Boston Celtics and Philadelphia 76ers set to face one another in the postseason for the third time in as many seasons. But this year, there's a new wrinkle, and it's a little awkward. Al Horford is now a 76er. To that end, we brought on a special guest who can talk about that awkwardness perhaps a bit better than anyone on Earth, save maybe Al himself. Welcome, Anna Horford. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing excellent. Thank you guys for having me on. I'm excited to talk with you.
How are you feeling about this, just really in a really general top-level sense? Like, how are you feeling about this meeting?
Well, I feel very conflicted, obviously. There's, you know, that sense of wanting to support my family and my brother and his team, but also, you know, they happen to be playing one of my favorite teams that I still love very, very much. And it still kind of feels like we're part of the Celtics family in a way, me and my siblings at least. And so, yeah, it's very conflicting.
I mean, I can't speak to how they do things with the Philadelphia fan base, but at least with the Celtics, once you put on the uniform, you know, you're ours forever. So get used to it. Over the regular season, Philly pretty much owned the Celtics 3-1. But now the 76ers are dealing with the loss of Ben Simmons with the knee issues. You know, the thing we really want to focus on most today, since, you know, you're our guest, is seeing Al as a Sixer from both perspectives, both from both ours and from the Philadelphia 76ers side. Kai, what are your thoughts about this dynamic? What's on your mind? What do you want to know more about?
Well, Anna, I was actually thinking, I mean, you know, a lot of people have kind of come down on Al a lot this year, but I mean, that's just Philly. You know, as a guy who's from this area, Philly people are ruthless. A lot of people have just kind of come down on Al, but in reality, the Joel and Al pairing have actually been pretty solid. When you look at the numbers offensively, the eye test may not prove it, but the numbers say they've been pretty, you know, dynamic on the offensive end and also what they do on the defensive end. I wanted to know like what you saw and really, like, what are your thoughts on Al so far in Philly this season?
Yeah, so I think it's been a really big adjustment for him. It's definitely, I mean, anytime you join a new team, you have to figure out where you fit exactly, and you have to figure out the chemistry with your new teammates. And, you know, if you don't have things like chemistry, no matter how much talent you have on the team, things can fall apart pretty quickly. So I think Philly in general as a team has really struggled to find their groove and to find their chemistry. And Al was just so solid with the Celtics. He had a really great relationship with all the players. And, you know, that really, really matters on and off the court. So I think he is still just getting used to things in Philly. And obviously this season is, you know, nothing like this has quite ever happened before with COVID and the bubble and everything. Right. So that doesn't really help things, you know, them being off for a few months as well. So I don't think that they've really had, you know, the appropriate amount of time to find their groove, which I think has really worked against them.
Now, one more thing I actually wanted to ask you, Anna, like real quick, I'm sorry, just real quick. Al mentioned last night that, you know, he's really been proud of Jason Tatum and, you know, like his ability to just score and is it like the fact that he's developed his game so quickly. And he really just kind of zeroed in on him when it comes to this playoff series. I wanted to get your thoughts, not just on Jason's game and that relationship that Al and Jason have. I mean, if you've noticed anything over the last couple of years in Boston.
Yeah, I mean, I think the young guys, especially, you know, Jalen and Jason have really looked up to Al as like a role model. And, you know, Al is definitely, I've said this in so many interviews, was the dad of the team. Essentially, you know, he'd always give them advice. And I think they really respected that because a lot of guys, you know, veteran players can sometimes brush off the young guys or, you know, Al was very hands-on with trying to teach them what he knew and how to stay in the league for a long time, how to be successful, how to be a good teammate. So, yeah, I think that they just had a really solid relationship foundation. Obviously, you know, Jason has been so amazing. He's only going to get better. And I think the same goes for Jalen and so many of the guys, you know, on that team. And so yeah, I mean, they've done amazing this year. I think Al definitely, you know, misses his teammates. It's hard when you're, you know, on a team with guys and day in, day out, you see each other and you get close and stuff. And then the next thing you know, you're on a completely different team, essentially having to, you know, start fresh, a new family. So yeah, it does kind of take a toll, but you know, the guys back in Boston have been doing amazing this year. I don't think anyone can, you know, can say otherwise. So I think from afar, he's probably really proud of them.
Hi, Anna, it's Josh. We've spoken a few times before. Firstly, it feels absolutely excellent to be in a podcast with someone like Justin and be in the time zone, not in the time zone minority, which is great. So thank you for your life decisions.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So how is life in the Isle of Wight, firstly, and what was the favorite British expression that you've picked up?
Oh, my gosh. There are so many strange ones. Like, I know you guys basically invented the language, but English over here is bizarre. It's been really good. I've really enjoyed my time here. Spent a little bit of time in London as well. Obviously, with COVID going on, we haven't been able to do as much as we planned. I was supposed to do a lot of traveling. That didn't really happen, but England has embraced me with open arms. So it's been really great. As far as some like British idioms that I like to hear, I don't necessarily say because I'm American, they just sound weird. I really like cheeky. I really like chuffed just because they're like okay. Fun to say, you know.
Right.
And also, I don't know if this is because I watched too much Love Island, but I also love like when people say fit, like, okay. Oh, yeah, they're yeah. So fit.
Yeah, so instead of hot, right?
Yeah. So instead of hot, like, oh, yeah, he's fit or she's fit. And then there are the weird ones like give me a tinkle on the blower. And I,
okay,
and
you've gone way too far down the rabbit hole.
What
right
does
now.
That mean? Do I want to know?
Like, seriously, I like the people that I've been, you know, staying with and whatnot, they say the strangest things, my boyfriend's family. And sometimes it just makes you kind of scratch your head, like, where am I even? Like,
so just to clarify for the other guys, that blower is phone, but I'm not entirely sure what's being insinuated by give me a tinkle. But let's talk basketball. you really kind of threw yourself, like you said, into the kind of Celtics fan community the years when Al was actually in Boston. And, of course, you gained a big following from Boston because of that, and you continue to support them and they continue to support you. But how would you describe your late relationship with Philly fans so far?
You know, I don't really have the strongest relationship, I suppose, with Philly fans. I think they're really, really put off by the fact that I don't, you know, publicly like criticize Boston and that I still like to see, you know, everyone thrive on that team. Like, I still am liking tweets about, you know, about how well the guys are doing and stuff. But I mean, you can't really blame me for that. Like, I know them, you know, it was three amazing seasons. The city really embraced our family. So I think that they do take that the wrong way, and they just kind of would like to see me drop the Celtics completely. But, you know, I'm not going to do that just because a bunch of people I don't know want me to. So,
well, so I guess that's a case of, you know, you have a personal relationship with those people, and that's probably what people don't understand, right?
Yeah, I mean, and it's just, like I said, the city in general, I still go there, like, since Al stopped playing, like, you know, I've been there a couple of times, and I still love the city, I still love the people, I still love the fans, and they say the best things to us still, like, for this series, I saw someone tweet, you know, winner of the series gets to keep the Horfords. Like, and that was like a Boston fan tweeting. And I'm like, and me and my siblings see that. And we're like, oh my God, we love you guys so much.
Well, just to kind of interject in there real quick. And again, just being from the Philadelphia area, I can tell you, like, you know, I'm at the Jersey Shore. I'm kind of like an hour away from Philly. But, you know, everybody down here pledges their allegiance, you know, to Philadelphia. And I was actually at the beach the other day. And I was actually like kind of eavesdropping on like other people's conversations and stuff. And I think somebody said, like, I think I overheard somebody say, you know, I love Al, but I mean, his sister and those damn Boston, I hate Boston. Why does she love Boston so much? Like, so, like, Joe, so you are a dead spot on when it comes to, you know, that Philly and Boston relationship. And it's not just basketball either. Like, that kind of like branches off into like other things. Like, Philly people will tell you when Dunkin' Donuts in Philly is better than one in Boston just because it's in Philly. Like, it's just the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super strange. And I think that I don't know. I think that they just don't really understand like our connection to Boston and whatnot, and
right.
Definitely rubs them the wrong way. But they, at the same time, it's really weird. Like, I don't feel like Philly embraced us the same way that Boston did. Like, Al didn't come out, you know, scoring like 20 points and getting 20 rebounds, which he's never done. And right. They were like, excuse me, we paid you a lot of money. You should be doing more. And it's like, do you even understand what type of player he is?
Right.
And, you know, I think I think it's been challenging for him to fit into this system. And you can, I think I tweeted something like, you can be one of the best players in the world, but, you know, if there's no chemistry and if you're not being played the right way, then, you know, you're not going to see results. So I think that's been an issue as well.
100% correct.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit more about the fit issue. It really just, you know, defensively, we all were expecting one of the best defenses in the league, maybe all time, with so many good defensive players. But for whatever reason, they have not really clicked as well as they should have on that end. And the spacing is just terrible. But I'm curious to know, Anna, what you think of this situation. Not that it's, you know, in any way a good situation, but at least for Al's fit, it's going to be, I think, an improvement. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on how you think he's going to be used and what you expect to see based on the situation Philly's in now.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, hopefully you'll see more of Al. I thought it was a really strange move for Brett Brown to, you know, bench Al. He's never not started ever in his entire career. And I understand that they really wanted, you know, the bench to have like a really, to come in really strongly. So they added Al, you know, to the bench. But I think there have been some questionable choices on how they're using him. But Al is a major playoff player. Like, he's never not made the playoffs his entire career, and everyone knows that's when he really shines. So it's like, yeah, steady throughout the season, but then the playoffs come around and he turns into playoff Al, you know, a different, you know, he's on a different level essentially. And Philly should know that better than anyone because he gave them a really hard time, you know, in the playoffs. And he was, you know, a major reason why the Celtics were able to, you know, come out on top. And Philly knows that. He was a nightmare for them. And then they're going to turn around and be like, oh, well, we don't think he's that good. It's like, well, I mean, he used to shut you down game after game, so I don't know where you're getting that from. So yeah, it's just interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I think that he'll really step up and come into his own. Hopefully he is, you know, given the opportunity to do that. And yeah, I think they still just need to find some chemistry though as well.
You kind of touched upon it then, but how much do you, obviously you've said that he's the kind of most experienced postseason player on the Philly roster. How much of a factor do you think that'll play, and how much do you think that that's a kind of something that the Philly fans aren't understanding at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, you just really have to take a look at all of the, you know, playoffs over the years that Al's competed in, and look at the type of player he is and how he facilitates and whatnot. And I think that Philly just really needs to find a way to play better together, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. I mean, obviously it's a team sport, but with Ben out, it's also going to be really, really challenging. You know, he is significant. He's a major presence. He's essential to the team's flow of things. So not having him in there, I'm hoping, you know, that they'll find some creative ways to kind of step up their game, and hopefully Al can contribute to that. It gives them a bit of an edge because Al knows Boston. He knows how these guys play. He knows their weaknesses. So I think that that will work, you know, in Philly's favor. But at the same time, you know, like you guys said, and I said, with Ben out and with just some of the injuries and issues this team has had, they're really, really going to have to, you know, come together, work as a team, and yeah, just try to figure it out, because Boston's, you know, they're really good. They're great. So yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting series. I think it's going to be an entertaining series, and especially because of this rivalry between the two teams. You know, I'm not looking forward to being on Twitter during this whole thing. I'm going to get demolished, like, no matter what I do. Like, I'm just not going to win. So I'm, you know, I'm a little anxious about that.
So it might be time for a bit of online social media cleansing for a week or so. But you said that obviously you're going to kind of get that kind of backlash whatever way you turn. But in terms of kind of Al and his the amount he's tuned into kind of any public perception, how much do you think any of the reaction from Philadelphia fans so far will have affected Al, if at all?
So Al doesn't really pay much attention to social media. Negative comments, you know, especially he does that for his own sanity, I think. But I do think that he hears bits and pieces, which really kind of, I think, will light a fire under most of these guys, most athletes, when they, you know, hear so much negative, you know, so many negative opinions about them, that it'll kind of get under their skin because they're human. But I have never encountered such a negative fan base. And I'm not saying that as a whole. I'm saying that as, like, the people who come into my mentions, and, like, even when the Philly Twitter account tweets and they, like, Al will have, like, you know, hit a three or something, and they tweet, like, a small video of it, and then you get 50 comments under it, like, still sucks, we hate him, you know, like, get him off the team, like, his form is terrible, like, he could shoot,
oh my god,
he could shoot 5 for 5 from three, and they'll be like, terrible form, like, go walk in front of a car, you know what I mean? So, like, it's just, it's a bit much, and I wish that they were just a bit more, like, ride or die. And I think that's what I really respected about the Celtics fan base, because not that they're not hard on their players, but they'll ride for their players. Like, and I feel like Philly fans are like, if you mess up once, like, you're dead to me.
Well, I mean, they have a motto, Anna. It's called bullying works. Like, they truly believe, like, legit, like this is not a joke. Whenever they, like, I see so many tweets on Twitter from, like, random Philly fans, like, after they boo, like, their guys during the game, and the players respond and go on, like, a run, they will immediately go to Twitter and be like, I told you guys, bullying works. Bullying works. We need to keep bullying them. Like, this is a mindset that these people have.
No, it just makes them look like assholes.
Right, exactly. Like 100%. But it's kind of who they are.
I mean, yeah. I heard a conversation earlier this week with Embiid. I think it might have been on the JJ Redick podcast. And he was talking about when they booed him earlier in the season and how actually it kind of wildly affected his feelings towards the fans. He didn't really allude to what he meant there, but he kind of said that. And it, my mind was kind of, it made me kind of numb to my relationship with them. Is that kind of how, is that, do you think sometimes that happens with players in Philadelphia and other places, of course, but do you think it happens in Philadelphia, Kai?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Sorry.
Oh no. Listen, you're good. Passionate about their teams, and I mean, I've had Sixers fans in my DMs, like because I didn't criticize Al enough, like throughout the season, like through articles and stuff.
It's wild as well because Boston's not exactly kind of built up a reputation as a fan base that are kind of timid towards their own players.
It's a much different animal.
I will grant that they are consistent, if nothing else.
Yes. I guess the final question on my end. You mentioned how Al was really good with the younger guys in Boston. The younger guys on this team, like specifically Furkan Korkmaz and Matisse Thybul, they always come out and said how great a teammate Al is and how supportive and how much of a leader he is. Has he talked to you at all about like Matisse and Furkan? Have you noticed anything with those two?
I didn't catch the last end of what you were saying. It was a little glitchy, but I heard it was just basically about the younger guys and, you know, and talking about how Al's, you know, been a good veteran role model, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I think that anyone who's played with Al over the years knows that he's like, and this just sounds weird coming from me because I'm his sister, but like the ultimate professional.
Right.
You know, coaches love him, GMs love him, teammates love him. And I think it's because he's just really good at what he does and he's learned a lot over the years and he's always willing to help and willing to look out for like the younger guys and whatnot. And I think that's something a lot of Philly fans don't realize is the value of having a veteran player like Al on the team, not just for, you know, filling the stat sheet, but for his presence and for, you know, he's been here before. So I think that that's, you know, invaluable. I think people need to realize that it's not just about the box score. It's so much more than that.
So we won't ask you to pick sides in this series since we already know the answer, but any predictions, number of games, people who are going to do well and ultimately win?
I mean, like I said, I feel like no matter what I say, I'm going to be upsetting people.
Of course. Just be honest.
I think it's going to be a very challenging series for Philly. So I will say that. I'm not saying that, you know, it's going to be a sweep or they're not going to step up. But I do think it's going to be quite challenging, especially without Ben. You know, he's, like I said, he's a major facilitator and he's really essential to their process. So I think, yeah, I think it's going to be tough. I don't even want to say how many games I think it's going to be. But, you know, it's going to be an entertaining series at least. And social media will be very entertaining throughout the series as well. If my Twitter goes dark, you guys know why.
Yep.
But I don't know if I'll be able to, you know, restrain myself. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I hope that both teams do well. I do want to say that. I hope both teams do well. And that Al does well, obviously, and that it's a good entertaining series.
Josh, any predictions?
Firstly, great way to sit on the fence there, Anna. You did that very, very, very smartly. And I'm gonna say Boston in six.
That's what I'm leaning towards myself. Kai?
Listen, before Ben got hurt and I actually had this conversation with Justin and Arthur over in Fire, and I was like, oh, so Sixers are beating them 5. Like, initially, I said that just because of, I think, Joel and Al together, and now I'm taking Boston in six.
I think the main issue is going to be kind of death by options for Boston, isn't it? I think that if you think about maybe like Thibault does a really good job on Kemba, and then you find some way to, without Ben, to guard Tatum and Brown.
Right, and Hayward.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm about to say. I mean, then the X factor becomes, if you have a confident and aggressive Gordon Hayward, then I think it's just a matter of death by options for Philadelphia, unless they find a way to kind of really overwhelm this Boston team, as they have been before with size. And if there is anyone to do that, I guess it's Joel Embiid, but we'll see. Boston is six. Let's go.
All right. What are we working on, Anna? Horford happy hour. What's going on with that?
Yeah, so I'm in season three of Horford Happy Hour, and I have a few more episodes left in this season. So with the CLNS Media Network in, you guessed it, Boston. Lots of ties to the city, people. So yeah, it's going really well. Might be doing some more, like, on-camera stuff, things like that. But basically, you know, just drinking and talking. Which never gets old for me. So yeah, it's going really, really well.
All right. Josh, what are you up to?
So I write a lot on Double Clutch UK about basketball, and I run a live music podcast called Hand Stamp Podcast, which Anna has kindly been a guest for. And we stream every Monday night on Double Clutch as well. So we'll be doing that this week coming. Look out, Double Clutch UK.
Excellent. Okay.
Just really getting ready for Monday. Just trying to keep it as positive as I can, so that way, like, nobody comes after me on Twitter.
All right. Well, you can catch all the same coverage from our point of view on the Celtics Wire. I think we're going to have some crossover stuff with Sixers Wire coming up as well, because why not? So, yeah, that's what we've got going on. Anna, thank you very much for powering through this with us and giving some of your time. It's very much appreciated.
Yeah, yes, thank you guys so much. Thank you. I'm already nervous for this series. I don't know about you guys, but...
Very.
Yeah.
Very. Very.
I'm chuffed to have caught up with you, Anna.
Amazing. Love it.
Well, you can find the pod on most podcatcher apps. Please be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, please rate us 5 stars. If you don't like something or have a suggestion, just let us know with a comment on Twitter with the hashtag CLPOD, CLPOD. We are always trying to bring you the deepest dives into Celtics coverage, and hopefully we did that today. Take care, y'all.